such an anointing of the Lord. It's just real precious. Amen. I am speaking to you out of 2 Chronicles chapter 26 this morning. My voice is a little rough again today. I had lost it Monday, Tuesday. I just didn't even have a voice. But I've titled this, The Right Attitude in Your Success. The Right Attitude in Your Success. And I don't care where you're at today in life, you should view the future as success. I will be successful. Not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. I will be successful. For about 7 or 8 years, I have known that one day I would preach a sermon. I didn't have it together or anything. I just love this. This is a portion of Scripture that just really ministers to me. And I've just known that one day I'll preach a sermon. And so it was this week as I was thinking, Lord, where are we going this week? What are we doing? And the Lord says, now is the time to preach that. And at least I really hope that was the Lord. Time will tell, right? Amen. So are you there in 2 Chronicles chapter 26? Now, I'm going to read that whole chapter to you, but it won't take but a second, I hope. So put your seatbelt on. Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his father. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had an understanding of the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod and had among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gur-Baal, and against the Midianites. Also, the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, the valley gate, the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. He built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. I thought that was such an interesting line. I don't know if that ministers to you. King James says he loved husbandry. He loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies according to the number on the row as he prepared Vajiel, the scribe, and Manasseh, the officer, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600. And under their authority was an army of 307,500 and made war with the mighty power to help the king against their enemy. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields and spears and helmets, body armor, bows and slings to cast stones. He made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and on the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. Isn't that amazing? I can pronounce the Hebrew words, I can't get stones out. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, violent men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense, get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead. before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of King Uzziah, from the first to the last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, wrote. So Uzziah rested with his father, and they buried him with his father in the field of burial, which belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. Now, Father God, we just come before you today, and we believe, Lord, that you have a thought in your mind, in your heart, that you want to convey to us. And God, we want to hear the mind of the Lord. We don't want to hear the mind of a man. We want to hear the mind of the Lord. So God, I'm asking you, Lord, just use me as a vessel, an instrument of your service, and speak through me. Now, God, I pray that you would prepare the hearts of these people to receive the word from the Lord. God, I believe, Lord, if we will receive it, Lord, it's like drinking medicine, God. We will have life added to us today. God, it will change the course of the nature of our life, God. One word from you, one word from heaven will change our lives. So, God, we put our hearts and ears on the altar today to listen to the word of the Lord. We take captive our thoughts and we place them upon you. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, sometimes you wonder, do I have the right sermon? And you just start to trust that you're hearing the Lord and leading. He's leading your steps. Right before I walked up here, a man looked at me. He grabbed me and he started brought me near. And he said, I will wash your feet anytime that you want me to do that. Foot washing is a sign of total humility. It's not something that you necessarily practice in today's society, in today's church. Not that we're foreign to it. We've done it before. But that's the heart of a servant. You see, Jesus did that. On the day, any day, Jesus could have said, you worship me. I am to be lifted up. You, come wash my feet. He never, ever did that. And yet he grabbed a towel one day and he began to wash the feet of the disciples. And Peter said, no, you are not washing my feet. And he said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. I could just see Peter saying, well, just bathe me good, Jesus. I'll just start taking off clothes. He said, no, hold on, Peter. Keep your clothes on. Your feet's good enough. I think every one of us wants success in life. And you may not think about it, but where does that desire come from? Where does the desire to achieve come from? Him. More than anything, I love to see my kids do well. You're the same, right? You love to see your kids prosper. We spent the night with Drew this weekend, and I love to see my kids prosper, but there's a part of me that loves to see them in poverty. Now, stay with me for just a second. You know, he's finishing up medical school. He's graduating here just next month, or the month after May. And you just look around their apartment, and they got the old couch that we gave them. Got their TV sitting on a whiskey barrel that somebody gave them. I mean, just everything about their house is everything that people have given them. They don't really, you know. And Drew asked her, Noelle, the other day, and he said, when are we going to start buying new furniture? And she said, I love this stuff. I love that. I love that, and I would not take that away from any young couple. I think the worst thing that we can do as parents is come in and try to make it too easy for our kids. I don't know about you, but if you're as old as I am, you look back on those days when you started, how poor you were. We lived on Denny Moore stew and Spam. And yet, there's something so precious about those days. Because you didn't have anything, but you had this dream. And you had this hope in your heart that one day, it's going to be better than this. And we're going to do it together. We're going to build a life together. And I believe that comes from Jesus. Because I believe when he looks down on us, that's why I reject the way prosperity is taught today. Prosperity, God wants to make you rich. No, get that out of your head. God wants to make you successful. God wants to prosper you. But if he made us rich, some of us would go to hell with our riches. Because we trust them more than we trust him. I think God loves the seasons of life. I think God looks at the time when we start, when we have nothing, and we just look to him. And see, the wise man never gets away from that. The wise family, even though success may come in their life, when they sing songs like, I need you, they sing it from their heart because they know all this can fade away. I need you, and you and you alone is what I desire in my heart. You know, King Uzziah, 16 years old. 16 years old, and I think his dad, Amaziah, got sick. And so Uzziah had to step in. Atlantis, are you 16? Come here, dear. You're now queen. Queen of the land. Can you imagine the fear? Can you imagine if you had to make every decision for every one of these people's lives? What they'll do, who they'll marry, every decision that these people are going to make, it's yours. Now, you're going to have all kinds of counselors. They're going to come running to you and say, tax them. Tax them heavy because you can get rich. And then there's other people going to come and say, don't do that. Be good to your people and they'll be good to you. Bless your people and they'll bless you. Which voice are you going to listen to? And then you have your own voice. And your own voice says, I'm a black king. There ain't no such thing as black kings, is there? I'm not supposed to be king. I'm black. I'm 16. I'm not smart enough to be king. You have the same voice as I do. Same voice. Same voice that told me, you can't be a pastor. You got a past. You've had a nervous breakdown. You come from nothing. You can't be pastor. You're not smart enough to be pastor. He takes the truth and he makes you think that's really the truth. You are black. And you know what that means? Absolutely nothing in God's sight. I want you to know this. It means absolutely nothing to us, too. Because you're a daughter. You're a daughter of this church. And we believe in you. And if God made you king, we are your humble servants. You can sit down.
I'll be a terrible king.
I didn't want to embarrass her, but I thought you needed a picture. You remember when you were 16? Remember all the things that were going through your mind? All the things that Satan told you you can't because of this? I don't know what's going through her mind, but I bet I'm pretty close. Uzziah was no different than us. Uzziah, 16 years old. You're just a king's kid. You're just nothing. Tomorrow, you're king. Uzziah did good as long as he listened to the man of God. As long as Zechariah lived, Zechariah, the minor prophet who wrote the book in the Bible, that was that Zechariah. Minor prophet, not because he wasn't important. Minor prophet because he wrote a small book, right? Still important. I love verse 5. As long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. As long as he sought the Lord. Now, the way he would seek the Lord is by listening to the man of God. Because the man of God, it was a little different back in those days. The man of God would speak the word of the Lord to them. And as long as he would listen and be obedient, he prospered. He did well. I want you to know some things are different, some things are not. As long as you seek God first. You hear me? When you begin to seek things, God takes a step back. When you begin to seek fame, when you begin to seek the things that's going to make you look good, God takes a step back. Oh, is this your show? I'm sorry. I didn't know this was your show. If it's your show, then I will remove myself. But if it's our show, if God gets to step up in your life, then he says something like this: stick with me, son, and I'm going to make you look good. I love it to think this way. We're just people. We're just people. Until God brings his super and adds it to your natural. And then we become supernatural. So the things that we could not accomplish, we can now accomplish because of him, not because you're so great. See, when you start thinking you're great, you got problems. But as long as you can keep your eye upon Jesus, you're going to do all right. Uzziah did wonderful, but so did a lot of other people in the Bible. You know, Daniel says in 11:32, he said, those that know their God shall do exploits. Those that know their God will do exploits. You want to do well? Push in to know him. I believe with all my heart that God expects us to work. God expects us to do something, and that's to know him. You know, when men get married in the Old Testament, you got a year off. 1 year. You know what you were to do in that year? Know your wife. Why? Because you might have just met her at the wedding. You know, oh, what's your name again? Oh, it's nice to meet you. So you got a year to get to know this woman. And I can tell you, every man knows this. A year ain't nearly long enough. You just touching the surface. Daniel was an ordinary young man that went into the king's house because they said, this boy's bright. So let's make him something. And Daniel made one decision at his young age that changed the course of his life. You get this? Daniel made one decision that changed the course of his life. He said, I will not defile myself with anything from the king's table that's been offered to idols. I'm not eating that. That one decision got the attention of God. And God heard that. The Bible says God's ears are turned towards his people and his eyes upon them. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, I believe, says everything is laid bare before God. We're an open book. God reads us. I remember reading that verse and getting scared the first time. Because when you grow up legalistic, you read a verse like that, God sees every thought. God knows everything you're doing. You're naked in the eyes of God. And you think, oh dear God, am I in trouble? And it's not until you understand grace that God loves us. And God's not looking to condemn you. God's looking to bless your life. Then you look at that and say, God, read me like an open book. I want you to know me. I want to know you. Lord, keep your eye upon me and keep your ear turned towards me. I may say something brilliant one day, God, and I want you to hear it. Well, Daniel did. It set the course of nature. Spun it. Daniel became a great man of God in the second in command. Joseph went from being a prisoner in jail in one day he's a prisoner, and then the king has a dream, and all of a sudden he's brought before the king because the guy remembered that he foretold his dream. In probably less than an hour, this king saw this young man that come out of the prison cell, cleaned him up a little bit, brought him before him. He interprets the dream, tells the king how to get through this difficult time that's coming. In less than an hour, he went from being a prisoner to second in command, prime minister probably, vice president. From prisoner to vice president in less than an hour. That would be a best-selling book, right? Well, guess what? Only God can do that. But see, we live life like that doesn't happen anymore. Oh, those are just stories. Until you realize that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he treats all of us on equal playing ground. God doesn't play favorites. I don't care what the color of your skin is. I don't care what your educational level. I don't care which side of the tracks you've been born on. It doesn't matter to God. I don't care whether you're male or female, and neither does he. God is looking for available flesh. Flesh that will remain humble in his sight. Flesh that he can prosper. Psalms 1, verse 1 through 3 says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water that will bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. King David knew. David went from tending sheep in one day, being a shepherd boy, to being the hero of Israel when he slayed Goliath. In one day, listen to me, please listen to me. In one day, David's life changed. Joseph's life changed. Daniel's life changed. Uzziah's life changed. Why couldn't it be you? Why couldn't you put your name there and saying, God, in one day, my life could change? I believe it can. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's the Lord. It's not you. You're clay. The clay has no right to look at the potter and say, make me this. I want to be presentable. I want to be something wonderful. And the potter says, no, you look like an ashtray to me. Well, if God wants you to be an ashtray, let's start as an ashtray, right? Who knows what later that ashtray may become? Yeah, some of these kids probably don't even know what ashtrays are. Back in our day, every house you went to, they had this thing where you could put your cigarette butts in. We call them ashtrays. Uzziah was, it was gross. It was nasty. Uzziah was made king of Judah at age 16, and he was tremendously successful. He grew an army of 307,500 men, 2,600 mighty fighting men. Now, David had mighty fighting men of 30. Put it in perspective, Uzziah, 2,600. In one day, one of David's mighty men slew 800 Philistines by himself because he wouldn't give up his bean field. He said, not today, boys. Samson was nothing like what we envision. Samson was an ordinary man until the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then he could bring the house down. You know, Uzziah, he invented weapons that were so far beyond their capabilities of their day. He invented the catapult, where they would shoot these rocks. He invented something that could shoot arrows. He built towers in the city of where the walls had been broken down. He built these mighty towers that they could fight the enemy from these towers. He built towers in the desert because he loved the soil. So he built towers, but he also dug wells in the desert. He became known for his vineyards and different things like that. Can I just say one thing? The word husbandry, we're skipping thoughts right here. You know how I am. The word husbandry, King James said he loved husbandry. Husbandry means growing, the ability to grow things. Husbands, are you hearing me? This is where that word come from. It's your duty as a husband to grow your wife. Not necessarily physically, but in every other way. You grow her up. Spiritually, it's up to you, men. Emotionally, every way, God has placed within you something to grow your wife. That's why we're called husbands. We're growers. We're to grow this relationship. Men are so passive today. We just let the lady do everything. She just leads the family spiritually. She does everything. Shame on you. Get up, big boy. Let's do something for God. He took back the cities that they had been lost to the Philistines. And he did them great. He built new cities. However, there is one thing that Uzziah did not do. And it's found in 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 4. And it says this: he did not tear down the high places. He did not tear down the high places in the land. What in the world is a high place? It's just a hill. That's all it is. So what was he supposed to do? Take a bulldozer and knock down all the hills? Only those that were used in idol worship. They would go to a hill and they would build an altar. And they would sacrifice children on that altar to their gods. So when a godly king would come in, if he was real godly, what he would do is he would take out those altars. Uzziah didn't do that. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Men especially, we need to tear down the high places in our life. Have you ever talked to somebody that when they begin to talk about their sinful past, this little smirk comes up on their face like they're remembering the best days of their life? Oh man, I used to get so wasted. Oh golly. I wouldn't even know where I was the next day. It was woo-wee. Man, I don't even think we ought to talk about those shameful things. You know, when you give a testimony, don't glorify the devil, glorify God. Don't tell how evil you was. You know what works? I was a sinner. I was a sinner. That says it all. If I didn't do it, I probably tried to do it. Doesn't really matter what I did, what I didn't do. I was a sinner until I met Jesus. And that glorifies Him. I find that still yet today, we make excuses for our flesh. And the Bible says don't do that. Don't leave yourself an opportunity to sin. Don't leave open doors. This is good. Thank you, Jesus. Let's come down and talk about this. What's an open door? An open door gives the devil an avenue to come in you, come into you. This is why I try to teach these guys. Don't ever start smoking dope. Don't ever do those stuff. Don't ever drink. You're not missing anything. Don't ever have this girl that got married yesterday, 31-year-old virgin. That's a miracle. 31-year-old virgin. That don't happen anymore, does it, Pastor? It certainly does. When a woman knows who she is in Christ. She said, I ain't giving it away. I have one thing that I can give to my husband on our wedding day that's more precious than anything else. And I'm waiting till that day. Give me that old time religion. Oh man, I love that stuff. Some of you would do well to take a sledgehammer to your computer. Or maybe to your phone. Why? Because you're letting that defeat you. David said, I will not put any... No, it was Job. He said, I'll not put any wicked thing before my eyes. I want you to know, what Satan tells you that no one will know and it's not a big deal, it is a big deal. Your purity is a big deal. That's good preaching, Pastor Kelleher. I wish I'd heard that 30 years ago. Some of you may be saying. Well, a little bit of this won't hurt. Do you realize spiritually what you're doing? You're compromising. You're making excuses for your flesh. Well, it's not going to hurt anybody, but maybe me. Well, you're important. And if you realize that God's eyes are upon you all the time, don't do it. Don't make excuses for yourself. Please listen. It matters what you think. It matters what you look at. It matters what you smoke, what you drink, what you take. It matters. It matters. I just don't believe we're supposed to put anything foreign in our body. If you don't absolutely have to have it, don't take it. And as soon as you can get off of it, get off of it. Now, I'm not against medicine. I thank God for medicine and doctors and all that wisdom. But as soon as you can get off of it, get off of it. I believe God is the healer. I will trust Him. Right? Now, I look around and see a lot of people with glasses. Some people with hearing aids. Some people with walkers. Is there anything wrong with that? Absolutely not. Let's not be stupid. Use what you got to use. If you need a fluid pill, take a fluid pill. But if you only need one, don't take three. If you need a pain pill, take a pain pill. Don't take three. And as soon as you can get off of it, let's get off of it. Let's believe God to heal us. Thank you, Jesus. That wasn't for me. That wasn't for me. Don't make excuses. And don't let Satan whisper. I think that we ought to get just a little crazy. And I think when Satan whispers a lie, we ought to just get crazy about it. What? I'll not listen to that. Don't you wish Adam had done that? What? We're not going to eat that. We'll buy new speakers. Don't worry about it. We're not doing that because God said. What if men acted like that? What if men directed their household like that? What? You want to do what? I love you, baby. But as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. You see, I just believe this. I believe God is looking for people, men and women, that will state that in the quiet of the night. I am your servant. I just long to please you and you alone. Romans 13, 14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for your flesh to fulfill its lust. Verse 16 in this portion of scripture that we read, it's a very sad verse. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord. When he was at the top of his game, when everybody looked at Uzziah and thought, you know, he's probably the best king we've ever had. This guy's a brilliant. He's a genius. You be careful, please. Be careful that you don't fall in love with the accolades of men. When people start telling you how brilliant you are, now I've never had this happen to me. I'm just talking. I'm pretty sure this is right. This is not commonplace for me. You just make sure that you give that to the Lord. Now, I do believe this. Don't be stupid. If somebody gives you a compliment, accept it. Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Thank you. But in your heart, you give it back to Him. God, you made me look good again today. Thank you, Jesus. I know who I really am. I know that's you. Uzziah began to believe that he was all that. I remember we had a young man come to our house one time, and he was quite a jokester. He's one of my oldest son's friends. And this guy, you know, he's 22 years old, about to graduate college. And he would tell you all the time, I'm really a big deal. I'm really a big deal. Well, you know, I knew him. I knew he was just a joke, but he really is a big deal. He's really brilliant. He's really gone on to do some great things, invent some neat stuff. But when you begin to think that in your heart, you are in dangerous grounds. You see, Uzziah was at the top of being a king, but he was never called to be a priest. Kings were not priests. So one day he thinks, I can do anything I want to do. I'm boss. He who has the gold rules, and I have the gold. You know what? I just feel like I'm going to go into the house of God, and I'm going to be a priest today, and I'm going to offer incense upon the altar of incense. And he went in, and right after he went in, the priest came in after him. 81 of them. You don't tell the king no, but they did. I think something's very interesting too. It didn't call them ordinary men. It said they were mighty men. Priests, I don't think they were weightlifters. I think God was saying, from my perspective, these are mighty men. They may have looked like weaklings to the world, but in my eyes, they're mighty men. I wonder how God sees you. I think one of the fascinating things about heaven is going to be who we overlooked that God is going to recognize. It may be the people that are on TV today, may be the street sweepers of your city. You just don't know. Because God sees things different than we do. God looks through a different lens. And when He looks at you, He sees somebody different. Not only does He see somebody different, He actually has a new name for you. You know that? There's a name that God knows you by that maybe nobody else knows you by, that reflects your true identity, who you're really called to be. I wish that God would just unveil our eyes for a little bit and let us see who we are the way He sees us. But it does us well if we don't see it. And we always see that our power and our authority comes from Him. Because when you begin to think that you're all that, God takes a step back. And that's what happened in Uzziah's life. He was lifted up in his own eyes. And God said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was about us. I didn't realize it was about you." And God does this. "Okay, big boy, show me what you got." Can you imagine that? Come on, would you stay with me for a second? Can you imagine if God lifted His hand off of you right now? What would life be without Him? Could you breathe? Could you lift a finger? Pastor Daryl Ramsey that preached here last year, when God called him to preach, God put him on the ground, laid him down, just, he's a big man, played football for Murray State, very good athlete. God spoke to his heart. He said, "Wiggle your toe." And he tried to wiggle his toe. He said, "God, I can't." He said, "Move your pinky." And he said, "God, I can't." And God said, "You can't do anything without me. Now get up and pastor this church." I wish every one of us had an experience in our minds like that, that we understood we are great. You get me? You're great. But only because of Him. Only because the power of God is upon you. Whatever your future holds. And I know some of you are 60. Some of you are 70. And you're living in the past. Stop it. Stop it. God's not into the has-beens. God's into the will-bes. What's tomorrow going to be like? You finally have the wisdom to do something. Let's do something for God. David Kelly always tells me, there's no retirement in God's system. But in the world system, about the time you get to knowing what you think you're doing, we say, "Oh, go to the back room." Is that not ridiculous? Now, we're not wanting you to have babies or nothing like that. We know those days may be over. There's some things that you may do differently. But we ain't putting you on a shelf in this church. I hope you hear me. I hope you hear me. I don't think that's ever God's design. God wants to use you. God just wants to make sure He gets the glory. He's not going to share that with anybody. He's not going to share His glory. Micah 6:8 said, "He showed the old man what is good and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and what? To walk humbly with thy God. Pride had filled his heart. When he was in the temple, he began to offer the incense before the Lord. The priest ran in right after him and said, "You have no right to be here." And he flew into a fit of rage, like a 2-year-old child. "How dare you? How dare you talk to me with disrespect?" You know, most of the time when we get offended, it's because we think we deserve something. "Do you hear how she talked to me? I did not deserve that." No, you didn't deserve. You're not getting what you deserve. Bless God. We get offended because we've got ourselves up here. We think we deserve something. You deserve hell is what you deserve. But because of this intersection right here, you get life. Not only eternal life in heaven, life here. Significance, success, because of the cross. Now, humility is not thinking that you're a terrible person. It's just recognizing God is on you. You can think that you're something wonderful, but you know it's because of Him. You know, when you look at your success, you say, "To God be the glory. Look what He did out of dirt. God, You done it again," right? "You've done it again, God. You made something wonderful out of something nothing." Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom." Proverbs 16:5, "The Lord detests the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished." Proverbs 16, there's 6 things that God hates. Yes, 7 are an abomination to Him. And one of them says, a proud look. If I ask you to list the top 7 sins of all time, I'll guarantee you it'd be different than God's. The things that you think are so vile, God does not have on His list. But the things that you think are not a big deal, God's got on His list. That scares me. And I'm honest. It scares me because I'm looking at the wrong list. I'm trying to be right in my eyes and not trying to be right in His eyes. I wish the church would get over this thing about homosexuals and start realizing they're people that God loves. I wish that we would quit classifying sin. And if we are going to classify it, I wish we classify it the way God classifies it. And said, pride is extremely evil. How dare we? But see, Americans were teethed on pride. We think pride is a good thing. And God says, it's detestable in my sight. When you do something well, it's okay to say, "Wow, that's really good. I can't believe God gave me the ability to do that." It's not about you. It's about Him. 16:8, the same book. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 27:2, let someone else praise you, not your own mouth. An outsider, not your own lips. You better listen to yourself and see how many times you're saying "I" and "me" and how wonderful "I" is. James 4:6, God opposes the proud. You know what? If I'm going to box, I'm going to have an opponent. And I don't want that to be God. I wouldn't want it to be Muhammad Ali either. I don't want, you get what I'm saying? If I'm going to have to box, pick me out a little skinny guy that trips over his own feet. And maybe I'll have a fighting chance. But don't pick the biggest bruiser in the house and say, hey, here's your sparring partner. That's not fair. Well, guess what? If I have to go up against God, that ain't fair. I don't want God to be opposing me. Are you getting my drift? So in the same book, just a few verses gives us the clue. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He'll exalt you. 2 Timothy 3:2. For the people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. It's a sign of the last times. Guys, over here, did you catch that? Disobedient to parents. You may not understand that, but it's a big deal. Now listen to an old man. How you talk to your mama, how you talk to your daddy matters. And it comes before the throne of God. In the world's sight, you're just expressing your opinion. But in God's sight, you're being disobedient and not honoring. It's a big deal. He put it in the list right there beside pride. He hates pride. I wish kids around the world would hear that message. How do I get rid of pride? Between James chapter 4 verse 6 and James chapter 4 verse 10, he tells us exactly how to get rid of it. He gives us 5 steps. Submit to God. Submit to God. God, I'm sorry. Number 2, resist the devil. Satan, I've been listening to you long enough. Get out of my stinking ear. And I don't care what that is. When Satan tells you you're a failure, it's because he knows you're really a success. See, everything he says is a lie. So when you identify his voice, you just take the opposite. So when he tells you you're going to be poor all your life, you should say, hallelujah. If you're telling me I'm going to be poor all my life, it means God's got something good in store for me. Number 3, draw near to God. Draw near to God. First step is yours. Draw near to God. Come close. I'm amazed that when things are not right in our heart, you know the first thing that we do? We stop going to church. We stop praying. We stop reading. The one thing that could help us get this thing right. It's like when you got the flu and you don't go to the doctor. What's wrong with you? You know? You got something wrong with you? Go get help. Hey, you got a sin problem? Go get help. Draw near to God. Are you immoral right now? Are you living in immorality? Draw near to God. Maybe you don't want to live that way. And God says, I got the key to get you out of this. I am saying so many things that I know are not for me. See, maybe you're doing some things that you know are displeasing to God and you don't want to do them. But you feel powerless. You feel helpless, like, I can't stop this. You're right. You can't. But He can. He can. Draw near to God. And then He says, verse number 4, cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your heart, you double-minded. 5, lament, mourn, and weep. 4 and 5, I can sum up in one word. Repent. Repent. I am so thankful for repentance. It's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. When you find yourself in a bad place, stop and repent. When you said something stupid, stop and repent. For some of us, that will be often. If you're telling a dirty joke and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit shows up and says, that doesn't please me, stop in the middle of the joke and repent. If you're flirting with a woman that's not your wife, stop before your wife finds out and repent. It's that easy. When someone offers you something, smoke, drink, shoot, whatever, stop, say no, and repent that you entertained that thought. When the thought comes around your mind of how bad people have treated you, and hatred begins to spur up in your heart again, stop, repent, say, God, I'm sorry I've had those thoughts again. I have chosen to forgive them. I put that back under the blood and I will not pick it up again. Bless God, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. There are people here today that need to believe that God believes in you. There are people here that needs to catch on that in one moment your life could totally change. You may be the Joseph. You may be the Daniel. Some people think that when Daniel was put in the lion's den, the lions wasn't hungry. Well, that's absolutely ridiculous. Because when they took him out and put the other guys in, they said, here's lunch and dessert, bless God. Man, they immediately tore those guys up. Why? Because they were ravenous. But God closed the mouth of the lion. I just wish that we'd get this. With you and God, nothing can come against you. But you've got to be on his team. You've got to understand he's on your team. And he's captain. And then there's those here today that you're like Uzziah. Your heart is filled with pride. And you have become big in your own eyes. And I hope that you realize how evil that is. I hope you understand how wicked pride is. And I pray that in a moment's notice, you give God the glory for the success of your life. I've been married 38 years. In today's terms, that's almost a miracle. Everybody in my family's divorced. Except for Grandma and Grandpa. Almost every one of them. Divorce is rampant in our family. Why am I different? Why me? Why is my brother still married? Because of you. Man, I was going for a big punch right here. Dear Jesus, forgive her for that pride in her heart. I know it's not her. And part of it, she. There's not a whole lot of women put up with me. But I know who I am. I'm not trying to be overly humble in your eyes. But I know Mary. I know Eric. I know me. You know, we were raised in Granite City on the wrong side of the tracks, back by the steel mills, where the rats were as big as dogs. I've got an uncle who was in the crib one time. He's just crying and crying and crying. His grandma thought, "What's wrong with him? I know I've changed the diaper. I know he's got a bottle. I've done everything for him." She went and grabbed him and found a rat under the covers in the crib with the baby. My dad was an adulterer. shot his leg off to keep out of the war, keep from going to Vietnam. Or I guess it was Korea. Not so special, right? Met him one time. He couldn't even call me his son. He said, well, that was just a real confusing time in my life. Yeah, well, I'm part of your confusion. I had a vasectomy. 9 months later, Treva tells me, yeah, you know, the thing that's supposed to happen didn't happen. I said, dear God, you're pregnant. She said, no, I think it's the stress of Christmas. I said, no, you're pregnant. She's pregnant with our third son. Some people have told us you should never tell your son that. Oh, buddy, he grew up with knowing that. You know why? Because I know. I know truth. What I tried to prevent, God said, no, this world needs Drew Kelleher. And I will go beyond you. And I will form and fashion somebody. I love all my boys. But I'm going to tell you, I think he's a world changer. Not because of him. God made my body do something totally different so that we'd produce a third child. So I had another vasectomy. So God, you want a fourth one, you're going to try a little harder. Treva had a tooth tied too. Three times the charm, God. Next one coming out, we're calling Christ. Oh, stand with me. My tree was a bright red today, so. The story of Uzziah. One of the greatest stories in the book of what can be. How would he have ended? You know how the end of the story goes? He lived as a leper the rest of the days of his life. He could no longer dwell in the palace. They had to move him out in isolation. For the rest of his existence, he lived in isolation. Listen to me. Satan will tell you that affair nobody will know about. Your wife will never find out. And if she never found out about it, I just want you to know this. God knows. God sees your actions. And it matters what you do. It matters the pride in your heart. It matters the things that you're doing that you think, I'm not hurting anybody. You're hurting you and you're a somebody. This is a great story because I wanted to see the end of the story. I wanted to see what Uzziah really would have been at the end. But I don't get to see it. All I get to see is a leper. Because he let pride come in his heart. And he began to take the glory for his success instead of giving it to God. I say, I want to see men that will say, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. Everything about our life is because of him. And what's the end of the story? What will be written about you? Who knows? Who knows what the end looks like? But I want you to know, if you go with God, don't steal his glory. Walk in humility. Great things he will do for you. Great things. Now please, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you have been stealing God's glory, I want you to be man enough or woman enough to lift your hand and say, Pastor, I need to repent. Amen. I see your hand. God bless you. I see those hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. such humility. You're on the right path. Don't steal God's glory. God bless you. Now, the other part of this is Satan has got some of you so snickered that you just think you're worthless. You think there's no good in you. That's not humility, guys. You hear me? That's not humility. That's a lie from the pit of hell that you're buying. You're calling it humility. Humility is knowing that your power and your strength lies in Him. That you can't do anything without Him. But it's not saying I'm a nothing. I don't know why I was ever born. I'm stupid. I'm this, I'm that. God can never use me. Get behind me, Satan. And I just want you to, I'm trying to put it out. Some of you need to repent that you have entertained that. You bought the lie of the devil. If you've been drinking the Kool-Aid of the devil, would you raise your hand and say, I need to repent that I have listened to his lies. Amen. Amen. I see those hands. Because if Jesus Christ was standing here in person, he would tell you how wonderful you are. When I look at my kids, I don't see their faults and failures, and they have them. But what I do see is wonderful. I see something that I absolutely love with all my heart. And I want you to know that's the love of a father. So when you stand naked before the Father and he examines your life, looks over your thoughts, he's not condemning you. He's saying, I love you and I'm so proud of you. Great things he will do in your life. But don't steal his glory. Oh my. Oh my. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you with all our hearts. I recognize the good in me is Christ in me, the hope of glory. God, I thank you for the story of Uzziah, but I don't want to make the same mistakes. God, for those that lifted their hands and said, you know what, I've let pride slip in, and I repent. God, I pray, Lord, that you caught those hands and that you accept their repentance, and that today, they start new and afresh. No longer are they on the corner that's opposing you, but now they're in the corner that's fighting with you. God, now empower them to do great and mighty things far beyond their own ability. God, I pray for those that lifted their hands and said, I've been listening to the lie of the devil. I thought I was worthless. I thought there was no good in me. Now I realize that's just a lie. Because when I form up with God, when Jesus comes on me, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. And I am mighty in God. And I believe that for the first time in my life, I see true success coming my way. And I choose to give God the glory. God, you saw those hands too. Now, Lord, make it real to them. And I pray, Lord Jesus, we know one word from heaven will change our life. I pray that lives have been changed today by the hand of God, by the open window of heaven. Lord, empower us to do great things. In this city, in this state, in this land of America, and in this world. God, raise us up as poster children of whom we will declare the Lord has done great things for us. and our hearts are filled with joy. I bless the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we sing that chorus? I will bless.